Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
Shabbat Shalom.
All right, this week's reading is Ve'etkanan. It means, and I pleaded. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23, through chapter 7, verse 11. The Haftorah portion is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 26. And the apostolic portion for today is going to be Romans chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. So the opening is, with the opening of chapter 4, Moses moves into the second section of his farewell message to Israel, exhorting the people to obey God's Torah so that they might dwell securely in the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And now, O Israel, listen to the laws and the right rulings which I am teaching you to do, so that you live and shall go in and possess the land which Adonai, Elohim of your fathers, is given you. Do not add to the word which I commanded you, and do not take away from it, so as to guard the commands of Adonai, your Elohim, which I am commanding you. Now we hear this a lot, especially in the messianic movements and things like that, that says do not add or take away from his word. And we're going to get to that in just a couple minutes. Okay, but here Moses is saying, listen and hear and do so that you may live. He's telling the people, here come some laws that I need to instruct you in. Do these coming laws that I'm going to tell you about and you will live and you will possess the land. But too often we miss this first part and we go into the second one about being in the land and what you can do. But it's not, we don't see, listen, study, do. These things will help you live within that land. And so Moses here is pleading with Israel, do Torah. A lot of people today plead with others, do Torah, do Torah. That's all you have to do in your life. Do Torah. It's simple. But man has messed that up. We make it so complicated, and we change things left and right, and we mean it this way, and I think it's that way, and you know, we have all these fights and arguments, you know. A funny thing I heard a while back is if you have two Jews in a room, you'll get three opinions. Okay, so you can never have too many opinions. Okay, but man has an opinion, but God's word is set in stone. It is our foundation. Okay, it's a foundation to everything. The Torah is a foundation to the prophets and to the writings. It's also the foundation to the apostolic scriptures. And so if you don't have that foundation, you don't have anything. If you just take the apostolic scriptures without that foundation, you're going to be wrong in your understanding of the scriptures. Okay, you're not going to know what it's actually talking about. So we have to understand that. Here Moses says, do this so that you live. Guys, doing Torah brings life. Okay? It doesn't bring curses and death upon you. It brings life upon you by doing it. And why? Yeshua is the Torah. Okay? And Yeshua is so much more than just the Torah, but he is the Torah. And if you take away parts of the Torah, you're taking away parts of Messiah. If you add to the Torah, you're adding the Messiah. Is that really possible? I would tell you no, but instead of adding the Messiah, I think you're changing who you want him to be when you add to it. Okay, because that's not who he is, and you're trying to make him into what you want him to be instead of you changing into what he wants you to be. And these are some differences, and this is where man gets really messed up in all its understanding. Okay, the Torah is also the covenant that was given by God. And he gave it to one people. He gave it to Israel. God has not given another covenant to any other people other than Israel. Find it in the scriptures, you're not going to. Only Israel has received that covenant. Now through Messiah, Yeshua, we're grafted in to Israel. Even though we weren't born into Israel in family type, through our faith in Messiah, Yeshua, we have become part of Israel. So we can enjoy that covenant with God. Okay? But too often, even those that are born into Israel don't enjoy that covenant with God. Because they don't follow Torah. They don't have the same belief systems. they're off, they're lost. Okay? And so too do people that have faith in Yeshua, they forget about the Torah. And the Torah is not valid anymore. The Torah has been done away with. We don't need to follow that. Some people say that it's for the Jews and not the Christians or Catholics. I mean, so many of man's ideas about what the Torah is become religion. And religion is what kills. Okay, God didn't come for religion. God came for a kingdom. And he's building a kingdom. And you are a kingdom of people that he has chosen to bring into his family through Messiah. So understand that Moses here is telling you, do these things and live. Don't add or take away from them. Okay? Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6 says, do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Okay? Boy, if you add to the word of God, he's going to come back and rebuke you and you're going to be found to be a liar. That's pretty tough wording right there. If you add to it. Okay? But how many of us do? Now, Israel has done it for ages and centuries and millennia, and they keep adding to it. One rabbi would say something, the next rabbi that came along would add to what the previous rabbi said, and so on, so on, and so on. So pretty soon you have these rules. You come up with over 1,200 rules just for the Sabbath. Because each rabbi would add on to what the last rabbi said, and you couldn't undo what the last rabbi said, so you had to add to it. And it gets so confusing that pretty soon, you don't know what's Torah and what's rabbinical. And so it can get confusing. So they've added to it. So do we. You know, in the Messianic movement, we add to it. We do all the time. Oh, we have to do things this way. Oh, if you don't do it that way, you're not saved. I mean, if you don't take this church and convert them into Messianic Judaism, I mean, it's crazy what we do, adding to the Word of God with our thoughts, our belief systems, and just what we live by. We're always adding to it, and that's not what we should do. We should start looking at it and say, what does it say? You know, when does Sabbath begin? When we don't add to it, it begins at sundown, right? We don't say, oh, well, you know, it begins at sundown, but I'm going to back it up and we're going to do it an hour and a half before the sun goes down. And then we're going to wait an hour and a half after it goes down the next night just to make sure we got the whole Sabbath, right? We're adding to it when we do stuff like that because that's not what the Word of God says. And so too often we're adding to it. Too often we take away from it too. And how do we do that? We justify not doing something. Oh, well, you know, I had to go do this and I had to go do that. Well, okay. But was it biblical? Well, God knows my heart. I love that. God knows my heart. And I sit there and go, yeah, he does. Isn't that awful? And then I get yelled at by people. What? You're saying I have a bad heart? I'm like, we all do. Every one of us do. We're in process of getting cleansed. We're in process of becoming righteous. The more you do Torah, the more righteous you become. We're going to get to that here in a little bit also. Okay, so you have these things that so it says don't add or take away. If we go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, it says, whoever then breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches men to do so shall be called least in the reign of the heavens. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now this is Yeshua, and he's talking about his Torah. Okay? So he's saying, whoever teaches men to follow my Torah and does Torah, they're going to be great in my kingdom. But whoever teaches man not to follow it will be the least. Okay, well now we're starting to see levels in heaven, right? Oh, you're going to have least, you're going to have great. All right, but they're both in heaven. So don't knock them. Like Rabbi always says, hey, if I'm a janitor and I get into heaven, so be it, right? Hey, I'm there. All right, I just want to get there. But Yeshua is telling us, do Torah. Do Torah. Follow my commands. Okay? If we take it further and we go into Mark chapter 7, verse 9, Get there real quick. It says, and he said to them, well, do you set aside the command of Elohim in order to guard your tradition? Now this is very touchy. Okay? And this is what I'm talking about when we justify our behavior and not follow the word of God. Okay? We all have traditions. Okay? All of us do. Habits, traditions, whatever you want to call it. Okay? Some of us have come out from some traditions that were pretty strong. Okay? I know when I came out of Christmas time being a great day and found out that it was pagan and all this kind of stuff, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. So I had a choice to make. Do I follow the word of God? Or do I say, I'm going to do Christmas? I have a choice to make. Okay? So I either set aside the word of God, saying it's of no value to me, it's not true, it doesn't matter, so that I can do my tradition, or I stop with my tradition and I follow the word of God. And that can be very difficult for us in different situations. Family comes down upon you and friends don't like you and they tell you you've entered a cult and all these things take place and they want to ostracize you and, oh, they can't do this and they can't do that. They talk bad about you and all these kind of things because you're actually following the word of God. Well, remember, Yeshua says, if they hate you, don't worry, because they hated me first. Okay? Guys, we're going to be hated for following the word of God. We're going to be. But that's Yeshua. And that's our covenant. And so we need to stand firm with that. We have to look at ourselves and say, do our traditions set aside the word of God? And we need to do that with everything. Every day of the week, waking up to falling asleep, do we have traditions? Are they right? Do they follow the word of God? We are supposed to study to show ourselves approved. Not somebody else approved, but ourselves. Okay, we have to apply it to ourselves first before we can go help others. Okay, because I teach my children all the time, let me show you how to do this. If I don't know how to do it, how can I show them? Okay, and so I have to be able to do it before I can teach somebody else to do it. You know, I had a person a long time ago tell me, he says, if you're going to climb Mount Everest, do you want somebody who's been there before to lead you? Or do you want someone who's going up there for the first time? I'm like, well, I kind of want somebody who's been there before. And probably not just once or twice. All right? I want somebody who's been there a lot. Because they've seen things, they know things, they have the experience that requires if this happens or that happens, they've seen it, right? That way I can get there. And this is what I want. Okay, if I'm going to be doing that. So we have to apply it to ourselves before we can actually move forward to help others. We can't just talk about it. We have to live it. We have to experience it because that's when you actually know it. Okay? Now remember, God does not lie. He cannot lie. And so we have to think about this very carefully. Throw that in with God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. So, if those two statements are true, if he's made a covenant with Israel, can that change? No. God cannot change. Okay? He's not going to change his covenant. He can explain it better, but it's going to be the same covenant. The covenant does not change. It's been the same all the way through. Now, some people today say, well, we're under a covenant of love. Others say, nah, it's a covenant of grace. Isn't it great? And when they say covenant of grace, I say, show me in Scripture. Show me where it says that. What are they talking about? And people can't explain it. What's the covenant of grace? What is it? They can't answer me. So I'm like, that can't be the covenant. Another one says, we're on the covenant of love. Okay, well, explain that to me. Well, you know, Yeshua loved us, so we're under that covenant. Where does it say that in Scripture? It doesn't. However, the covenant of love is kind of a neat little thing to think about. And the reason I say that is, when you do covenant, and when you do love, guess what you're doing? You're following Torah. The Torah teaches us how to love our neighbor. It teaches us how to love God. It teaches us how to love ourselves. And so by doing Torah, we are loving. So technically, yes, we are under a covenant of love. Okay? So in that sense, yes, we are under a covenant of love. But you have to do Torah to love. If you're not doing Torah, well, you're not loving according to Scripture, so are you under that covenant? That's a question you have to ask yourself. Okay? But these people, it's like a selfish or a sloppy agape is what somebody that we know says. Okay? And so, you know, that's what people think the love of God is. It's just sloppy. It's just, oh, whatever goes. Love you just the way you are. You don't have to change. You don't have to make a difference. You don't have to stop doing what you're doing. God loves you. Well, of course he loves you. But that does that mean he likes what you're doing? Does that mean you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven just because you say, Lord, I love you? Because Scripture tells us clearly in Ephesians and Galatians that if you continue in adultery, if you continue in sexual immorality in these things, and pride, and you are not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. It states this. So why do we think that it's a sloppy love that you can do whatever you want? It's not. But too often we think it is. Okay? So, as we have done this, have we added to the Word of God? Okay? I say our traditions have added to the Word of God. Okay? We find a certain way of doing it, and it's great. And if somebody doesn't do it this way, well, they're lost. Okay? I'm being a little bit cut and dry here, but that's the way a lot of us think. Okay? I've been to a couple other Messianic congregations, and boy, their whole thing is different. Okay, the way they chant is different. The way the music that they play is different. The way they group everything together is different. But does that make them wrong and us right? Does that make us wrong and them right? Okay, these are traditions. They're the way they do things. Okay, it's like tying tzitzis. Does the Bible tell us how to do it? No, it doesn't. Okay, I can't tell you how many different ways there are of tying tzitzis, and those are traditions. Okay, am I going to get mad at you for tying it a different way than me? Oh, I am? All right. I would hope not. But you know what? You're not saved if you don't tie it my way. Right? Well, that's the way we get. We get very judgmental. We get very uptight when people don't follow our own traditions. Okay? And yet we're changing. We're adding to the Word of God. And that can be a scary place to be. Because remember, it says in Proverbs 30, verse 6, do not add, or I'm going to make a liar out of you. Okay? So these things we have to understand. Okay? Don't add to His Word. Follow it. It's not a mystery. It's not hard. Remember, Yeshua says, My yoke is not heavy, but light. It's not hard. It's not difficult. What is he talking about? I like to play on words here a little bit. And of course, in here it means light, like a light from the ceiling or the sun or things like that. He's talking about light. But I say that, and people go, oh no, it's talking about weight. It's not heavy, so it's light. And I go, well, what's the play on words? It's kind of fun to think about that His way is light, and it's true. His Torah is a light unto our feet, right? It's a light, like the sun. Other people say it's not heavy, like a burden, light. It can be that too. See, there's simplicity in Messiah. And that's follow Torah, because He is the Torah. Don't add to it, don't take away, accept Him for who He is, and let Him change you to who He wants you to be. So we try to change the Word of God to fit into our belief systems. Okay? But the foundation of all we do must be Torah. If you don't find the tradition in Scripture, does it fit? Does it take away? Does it add? We need to look at that. Does it enhance? Does our tradition enhance it? Bring a deeper understanding? If it does, great. But understand, it's a tradition. It's not something that has to be done. Okay? But there can be no other foundation. None. He didn't give another covenant. He didn't give another Torah. He didn't do anything like that. Okay? Because if we go to Genesis chapter 26, verse 5, Okay. Get there real quick. It says, because Abraham obeyed my voice and guarded my charge, my commands, my laws, and my Torah. Now, some people, it'll say laws. It's translated as law. But the Hebrew word there is Torot, or plural for Torah. Okay? So we see right there that Abraham had the Torah. Right there he had the Torah. And it says, backs that up in Galatians chapter 4, it talks about how Abraham had the Torah. So he had the Torah in some form. So it hasn't changed. The Torah itself, it's grown, we've been explained it better, but it's the same Torah. God does not change. So Matthew chapter 7, we'll go to. And it's going to be verses 24 through 29. It says, and see, oh no, that's chapter 8. That won't work. Okay. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them shall be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain come down, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall. For it was founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them shall be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain came down, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Now what's Yeshua talking about there? He's talking about the Word of God being the foundation. Building your house on the Word of God. If you build it on the Torah, it will not fall. If you don't build your foundation on Torah, it will fall. And that's when you become a liar, and that's when all things come to pass. It's not Peter that you build your house on. Okay? It's not Paul that you build your house on. Okay? It's not Rabbi. It's not any of us. It's the Torah. It's God's Word that we build our foundations on. Okay? And that's it. It can't be anything else, or it will fall. And then if we do that, we're wise. God says, you're wise if you do this. Boy, wouldn't you love to have God come down and sit next to you and say, you are so wise doing that. Think about that. That would be pretty awesome. But then think how bad it would be. Paul, that was pretty foolish. And that happens to me a lot. God tells me, Paul, you're pretty foolish. Yeah, I know. Okay. Right? But it's because I didn't have my foundation at those times in Torah. But when I do, I have that strong foundation. And Yeshua is Torah, so Yeshua is the foundation. I'm not saying anything different than that. But your Torah is what will give you the strength you need. Okay? So we see this. Now, remember, Yeshua had authority when he was on earth, did he not? As a man, he had authority. Okay? Satan couldn't do anything to him. He answered. But he answered Satan using what? His tradition? No. He answered using Torah. Okay? So where do you think Yeshua's authority came from? The Torah. Well, yeah, it came from God. Okay, it came from the Father. But Yeshua is the Torah. Remember, nothing was created on this earth or world or anywhere else except through Yeshua and for Yeshua. Nothing. That means the Holy Spirit wasn't created without Yeshua. He wasn't created. There was nothing created unless it went through Yeshua. So he had to already have been. Okay? So Yeshua has always been, and he's been the Word, but his authority comes from Torah. Where do you think our authority comes from? Ah, we say to God, right? God gave us the authority. Really? Well, okay. But that really helps when we're walking along and we're just sinning and we're not doing the right thing and Satan comes in and kind of beats us up for a while. Boy, we have a lot of authority then, don't we? No, we don't. Okay, our authority actually comes when we're following Torah. We're following Torah. That's where our authority comes. That gives us legal rights to do certain things and to fight certain battles and prevent the evil one from coming after us a lot of times because we're following Torah. And I've lived it. Guys, I've been in places that no one follows Torah, but when I followed Torah, God protected me. God was with me. God gave me strength. He encouraged me. He fought so many of my battles that I didn't have to, because he fought them for me as long as I stayed in Torah. When I didn't follow Torah, guess what happened? He kind of stopped fighting those battles, and life got a little bit more hard, and it was frustrating, and it's scary, and all these things. And I'm like, oh, pull me back in. And he did. I started following Torah again, and guess what? He started fighting battles again. So our authority comes when we follow the Torah. Okay? Now, we don't just follow it just due to follow it, but we follow it in faith through Messiah to do the Torah. Okay? So, let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. Okay? And it's going to be verses 12 through 14. It says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and measured the heaven with a span, and contained the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighted the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who has meted out the spirit of Adonai, or as his counselor taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of right rulings? Who taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding?" Okay? Now this is talking about who taught the Creator these things? Who taught him righteousness? Who taught him truth? Who taught him all these things? Well, he didn't need it. Okay? He didn't need to be taught. But he's comparing it to anyone else. Okay? All these other small g gods, did they have to be taught? Okay? God understands some of those things are crazy. Okay? But this is talking about the Creator. Who is greater than him? Who is better than him? Who has more knowledge? There is none. Okay? He has it all. And he's given us all. How do we know that he's given us all we need? Okay? Well, I love this translation of the scriptures. This is the Institute for Scripture Research, called the Scriptures. And I like it in this sense, because it says, "Who has meted out the spirit of Adonai?" Well, meted out means to distribute, to hand out, to give. And so he's saying, I've given the spirit out. Okay? And that is different than a lot of other translations. And if you look at the Hebrew word, meted out, distribute, is the correct meaning of the word. And so here he's saying, I've proportioned out the Holy Spirit as I've seen fit. So he's given us the Holy Spirit. Do we not read in the Apostolic Scriptures that that is the down payment of our faith? Yes. Okay? So he has given it to us, but even back in Isaiah he gave it. So did it really come in Acts 2? Or was it already given? According to Scripture, it's already been given. Okay? So the Spirit's already been there and is here now. So he has given us all we need to walk it out, because the Spirit we've talked about in the past, the Spirit helps you walk out the Torah. It says, I will place my Spirit within you and cause you to follow my Torah. So that's what the Spirit does. So he's given us all we need. We just have to trust that and believe that the Word is true. And we have to have faith in Messiah, Yeshua, to walk it out in a way that doesn't kill. Because Yeshua and Torah brings life. Okay? So man has complicated things into religion these days. Okay? How many different messianic groups are there out there that all have all these different things? How about Christianity? How about Catholicism? How about any Jewish religion? Yeah, there's more than one. Okay, you have the three main ones. You have conservative, you have orthodox, you have reformed, but then you have the ultra-orthodox. You have so many different sects, I guess, of Judaism, if you want to call it that, and they all believe something different. Okay? It's absolutely crazy with religion. But that's what man has done to the Word of God. Okay? And so it's frustrating sometimes to see what we've done to it. Because it's simple. Read the scriptures, do them, and he will teach you how to do them his way. We're going to go to Romans chapter 10. It's the apostolic portion. It's going to be verses 3 through 5. It says, "For not knowing the righteousness of Elohim and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of Elohim. For Messiah is the goal of the Torah unto righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moshe writes about the righteousness which is of the Torah. The man who does these shall live by them." Okay. So we're talking about righteousness here. Okay? And I think it's pretty incredible. For not knowing the righteousness of Elohim. What is the righteousness of Elohim? What is the righteousness of God? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever considered what that might be? Okay, is it a word? I mean, we know he's righteous. We understand that he's righteous. But what does that really mean? Have we looked into it? What if his Torah is the righteousness of God? Something to think about. It's definitely something to consider. Okay? So, it's righteousness. When we walk in Torah, according to 1 John, guess what? We are righteous. And that's pretty amazing. Oh yeah, we think, oh, you have your righteousness through Yeshua. Well, Yeshua is indeed our righteousness, but it's when we also walk in Torah, we are righteous. And that's pretty neat. But we don't just do it because it's Torah. Because again, Torah does not save. Only Yeshua does. Okay? Only Yeshua saves. But Yeshua will lead you to do Torah through the Spirit because Yeshua is Torah. And so it's one and the same. So our righteousness is found in Torah and faith in Messiah. Okay? And so that's where our righteousness comes from. And simply, to put it simply, to walk in Torah with faith is righteousness. And so it is not what we make of ourselves that makes us righteous. It's not the acts that we do of ourselves that make us great. Okay? It's what God makes of us by following Yeshua and the Torah. Because we are supposed to pattern ourselves after Messiah, for he is our leader, he is our example. We are to live as he lived, not live our own way, saying, oh, Messiah likes this way. No, we're to pattern ourselves after him and live by him. Let's go to Jeremiah real quick. Jeremiah 23:6. It says, "In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel dwells safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called Adonai, our righteousness." So we're going to see that Judah and Israel are going to be Judah saved and Israel will dwell in safety, and this is, and his name is righteous. Okay, that's pretty amazing. Do we see that yet? Have we seen that over in Israel, where Judah's living, Judah's saved, and Israel's living in safety? Do we see that over there right now? Oh no. Have we seen it since they took the land back in the 40s? No. So it hasn't come yet. It hasn't happened yet, but it's going to. And what a great day that will be. Man, that'll be awesome. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 15 says, "Adonai delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, you above all peoples, as it is today." So the Lord has chosen you. And he chose your fathers and your mothers from way times past. And he is faithful to our family. So your children's children will see it and have that faithfulness. And you can count on that. Because that's the word of God. And God does not lie. And he does not give his covenant to anyone else. And so I will end with something that Rabbi quoted in his weekly reading this last week. And Rabbi says, "We are all Israel, whether we were born into it or not. It is by faith in Messiah and living a life based on Torah of love by his statutes, his judgments, precepts, and commandments. This is not a legalistic relationship he wants to have with us, but one built on a foundation of trust and faith. He believes in us, and we believe in him. What more do we need as we live Torah through the power of the Almighty in his Son Yeshua?" And so that was a pretty good quote, and I thought I'd share that with you from Rabbi. And so with that, I'll say, Torah Man says, "Faith believes the word of God for what it cannot see and is rewarded by seeing what it believes." Shabbat Shalom. Hashem.